Well, what a joy and what a blessing it is to be amongst you once again. It's been a very long time, as Howard has just pointed out, and I can feel the weight of that passing of time, even as I look around me and I see not so much the adults, but the what used to be kids are now like not so much kid-like anymore, but they're young adults in their own right, and bodies are growing out and up, and people are looking more mature and wiser, and I'm sure that that's simply an outward reflection of an inward reality as you continue to remain faithful to the Word and continue to love our Lord and serve Him and worship Him the way that you have been and the way you have been led over these past years. And so grateful for that. What a joy just to be associated with you as a family of God in this local community. Those songs that were just sung seem really particularly relevant for what will be, Lord willing, Sunday's sermon. But it also, I think, kind of sets a little bit for us in anticipation some of the topic that I want to cover in these three sessions during our evening chapel. Basically, what I thought I'd do is come up with a topic that I thought would be particularly helpful and relevant to us all, regardless of whatever age we are and how long we've been saved or what our circumstances may be. And so what I determined to do was to actually just basically share with you the content of a particular biblical counseling resource that is called Redeeming Your Painful Past. This is a resource that you can certainly pick up almost from online through Amazon or any other reliable bookstore. But it is a nice just little reminder to us that our Father provides present grace and future hope out of despite any painful past that we may have experienced. And the reality is, I think, that we can all agree that our pasts are a mixed bag, if you will, of good and hard and profitable and perhaps even to some extent even wasted if not taken advantage of. So we're going to look into that a little bit more over these next couple of chapel sessions. Today, all I want to do is just basically introduce the topic to you and lay a foundation for the next two. So today, what I'm going to do is, like I said, just introduce to you the topic of redeeming your painful past and help you begin to turn your mind to thinking a little bit more precisely about how we should view our past. And then the next, tomorrow night, Lord willing, we'll look at addressing our guilty past. And then we will look at the following evening addressing our innocent past and then wrap up with a few conclusions. So we're looking at both guilty pasts, innocent pasts, and just the past in general. So some important opening questions that you might want to just focus on or turn your mind towards of, and that is, do you think that your past has anything to do with any of your present struggles? Just ponder that for just a moment. Do you think that your past, whether good or bad, has any impact or anything to do with any current struggle or challenge that you might be facing? Are there any areas in your life that seem particularly difficult to change, for example? Do you feel stuck? Do you find that you get angry easily? It doesn't take much to set you off for some reason. Do you avoid particular or certain people regularly? Are you sad? Are you sad a lot, regularly? Do you engage in self-destructive behavior or things that aren't helpful for you and you know that might even be harmful? Do you think that any of these problems or behaviors might have anything to do with your past? There are two main competing worldview answers to that, these particular questions, and many believers also subscribe to one of these two worldviews, if you will. The first one is that the past is everything, or at least hugely significant. You could believe or feel that by forces outside of your control. Your current choices and the decisions that you make are based on, for example, your childhood or past experiences of some form or sort or another. You may have perceived damaged emotions, or you may have toxic past relationships, broken friendships, or problems with loved ones, whether they're parents, siblings, or other relatives or friends. There could be also the sense of helpless victimhood, that you were on the receiving end of unjust accusations or whatever, or pain. And the solution that the world would offer lies in wiping out those bad memories or replacing those bad memories of our past with either medications or drugs, maybe alcohol, behavioral therapy, cognitive therapy, talk therapy, going and seeing a therapist. And this is the predominant view, if you will, held by many, if not most, in our culture today, that the past is important, it's significant, and it needs to be mined for all kinds of answers. That's one view. On the other hand, we can also find something to the effect that the past is not significant. It may almost be close to nothing. It's a don't worry, be happy kind of attitude. People who subscribe to that would say basically that we're supposed to always look forward. We should always look ahead. We should do more, or we should pray more. We should maybe serve more in church or help other people more. Busy, 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 that kind of an approach. And the busier you are, the happier, or at least the more numbed you might become to whatever happened in your past. So the trouble is, of course, however, that trying to modify your behavior through psychological tips or tricks can be very frustrating and certainly not very reliable. And it takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of effort, repetition, it might even take a lot of money in order to make those types of solutions work for you. And very few people, let's face it, believe or truly believe that the past is nothing. The evidence just doesn't support that particular viewpoint particularly strongly. So the fact is that our past, your past, is powerful. And the scripture clearly teaches the potential significance of a person's past. For example, in Galatians 6, verse 7, we read, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." So there's this principle, this sowing and reaping principle. So whatever it is that you do today can bear some kind of fruit or an outcome tomorrow. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." And so we see that corresponding principle from the word as well, that basically says that if we have an issue, if we have a transgression, if we are in sin, that we are to take a particular course of action to correct it. We're supposed to confess it. And if we don't, you won't prosper. It'll come back to haunt you, it'll bite you, your conscience will be pricked, and there will be an issue in connection with that. And we also know from Proverbs 6:26 and 1 Corinthians 6:16 that when you engage in certain types of activities or behaviors that are immoral with another person or illegal, that there's consequences for those actions as well. So we do know that the Bible addresses our actions both in the present and the fact that it reaps some kind of an outcome in the future. And also harboring unaddressed bitterness is also like the root of a plant, according to Hebrews 12:15. It says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many may be defiled." So there's a sense in which you are frustrated, anxious, bitter. It becomes a root and becomes deeply seated in certain people who are prone to that. And it can lead to all kinds of poisonous outcomes in relationships. And the Bible warns us against those things. So it seems like when something bad or unwanted occurs in a person's life, our culture digs into the past to see where the blame can be placed. And so that's significant. That's the way the world handles things. It's basically this idea, you know, like Sigmund Freud would go into somebody's past, dig down deep, and try to figure out what went wrong in that person's life at some point in time, and then assign blame and try to eradicate that in some way, shape, or other. The Bible, on the other hand, describes many positive things and benefits from examining one's past, whether good or bad. Like, we have the ability to remember, and this can be very beneficial. It can help us to face challenges with confidence and strength. Past successes that we've enjoyed in our life experiences help to build confidence for the present. You'll recall David in 1 Samuel 17:37, he's recounting this story, if you will, to someone, and he says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine," as he's getting ready to face Goliath. So he has this track record, this past where God has been faithful. I mean, there's not too many of us who can certainly say that we've wrestled with or defeated a lion in hand-to-hand combat or a bear, either of which would be extremely unlikely that we would come out unscathed. But David was blessed by God, and he recalled God's mercy upon him and his help. The Bible says that the past can help us handle trials. We can find hope and confidence based on a track record of goodness from both God and others. You'll recall Job. And you'll recall that Job was basically smashed. I mean, he was crushed. God allowed Satan to oppress him and to take away virtually anything and everything that he owned and destroy his family, all his possessions and everything. And his wife was trying to counsel him to curse God and die. But Job declares in Job 2:10, he says, "You speak as a foolish woman speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" And the Bible makes this comment. It says, "In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." So he recognized the importance of the fact that God was both the giver of trials and disaster even, as well as the good. And up until that point in his life, he had experienced only good. The past can also help us understand how we are to forgive others. When we put life and trials into perspective, especially in light of God's goodness to us, we can overlook other people's offenses. You may recall the parable of the unforgiving steward. And that's just right at the end of Matthew 18. And it talks about how this servant owed a fantastically huge, enormous debt to his master. And his master took pity and mercy on this servant and forgave him that entire debt. And then the servant goes out and he finds somebody who owes him a few thousand dollars in comparison and tries to choke out that money from the person who owed him that, and legitimately so. But the point was that Jesus condemned this unfaithful, unforgiving steward by saying, "Look how much you have been forgiven by God, and you couldn't just forgive somebody else their debt?" and he was condemned. And God condemns us if we do not forgive others in the same way that we ourselves have been forgiven by him. So that, and also keeping us humble and helping us to repent, are some of the additional benefits that we can get from examining our past. Is it possible that perhaps that you have not given this area too much thought in your life? And because you may have perhaps unconsciously or implicitly agreed with those who suggest that the past is nothing and that we don't need to worry about it or we can't really gain anything from it? Or are you perhaps someone who recognizes the power of the past but tends to view it in ways that are almost exclusively negative? Alternatively, many people don't relish the idea of going down memory lane, and there's a variety of reasons for that, and painful past experiences can sometimes and oftentimes do hurt. They dredge up bad memories and could cause us to have potential regrets or remorse or dig up things that have been already dealt with, and we want to be careful about doing that. But the idea here is that we need to take a few minutes to ask God to help us think about our past in a more balanced and a more biblical fashion. We need to think more precisely, and that is that one mistake we often make in thinking about the past is to treat it as if it was one big lump, as though it was just one big facet of our lives in some respects. And the fact is that the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible understands the differences in the various events and seasons also that we undertake in our lives. It provides appropriate truths to help us understand and interpret each one. In other words, the past is multifaceted, and each part has an appropriate truth from the scriptures that must be carefully applied. You know, an illustration of this would be like if you're involved in a car accident and there's a significant amount of damage to your vehicle. Well, the idea here is that just as you wouldn't take your vehicle to one garage and expect a garage to fix every problem that is there, you would realize the need to take your vehicle to an auto body shop to fix out the dents and scratches. You need to take it to a mechanical shop in order to get transmission or motor issues done, and a glass shop for your windshield and all kinds of different things. So there's, just as we treat vehicles and complex objects that we possess in different ways in order to address any issues that they might have, in the same way that we need to address the various issues in our own pasts carefully. And so the key question then becomes, and this is what I'll leave us with in anticipation for tomorrow evening, a key question becomes, so what part of my past are we discussing right now? Are we addressing my guilty past, the times that I sinned against someone else? And I think we can all agree that we probably at some point in time, if we've lived long enough, we have sinned against somebody else in some way, shape, form, or another. Or are we talking about my innocent past, the times that I've been sinned against? And the reality is that many of us have been sinned against if we've been alive long enough. And so the Bible treats our guilty past and our innocent past in two different ways, and we're going to be examining those over the next 2 days. These can have a powerful impact on a person's life and relationships if not properly understood. And that's what I'd like to leave you with for this evening. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that your word is faithful and true. It is good. You are good. It is perfect, and that it is sufficient, it is authoritative, and it is inspired, it is without error. And so, Father, we are so grateful to the fact that we can turn to your word to obtain principles and truths and commands that help us navigate through the complexities of life and through our past and how we're to deal with relationships that we have potential challenges or difficulties with even today. Father, we thank you that you care for us, that you love us, that you want what is good for us, and you do these things and you help us so that you ultimately would receive all the glory, and that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be lifted high, and that we would exalt in him even as we praise and worship him for all he has done for us to enable us to live our lives in a holy and pleasing way before you. We thank you for these things. We thank you for this truth. We pray your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen.